Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
If you're visiting with us here at Crossroads, if you're just stepping in, been gone for a season, or fresh, brand new here, just want to welcome you, and we're excited about what is happening here in our church family. Lots of things, places to plug in, so please don't hesitate to ask us. We have been several weeks now in a series through the book of Romans, and we're looking at the message of Romans, which is really just breaking down what is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is this that Jesus has done for the world, this great and glorious thing that he has done for us, if we'll receive that by faith and follow him. And last week we rolled out this idea of identity dynamics, of really wrestling with this question of how well do we know ourselves. And I want to go back to that because I got a few more kind of handles, hopefully, to give you to take and to think on this really important issue of how well do we know ourselves. How well do we understand what's going on inside our soul? How well do we understand our very being? How our spirit, our soul, and our body work together to define who we are, where our personality resides, where, when we talk about from our heart, what do we really mean? And do we understand the spiritual dynamics? Do we understand the core of our being, how we communicate with God? Do we understand spiritual life change? Do we understand how God actually changes our life from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit? How well do we know these things? And so let me just step back and just chat just a bit before we dive into Romans 6. We're going to be in Romans 6, 5 through 11 this morning, and talking about this idea of being before doing. How are we convinced of who we are? Let's just go back, each of us, to when we were young and throughout our life. What have been the markers? How did you come to know who you are? Now, for a lot of us, that journey doesn't ever end. That's a life journey, right? But what were some of those things? How did you determine and come to know who you are and to be at peace with that? Ever think about that question? How, and even today, presently, how are we determining right now who we are? Our value, our place in this world, who we uniquely are, our personality, what's formed us? What are we becoming? What do we want to become? What are we wrestling with? What's keeping us back from becoming what we want to become? Right? All those things. Folks, for a lot of us, we all have different stories along the way. I was privileged to grow up in a family that that loved Jesus. First part of growing up for me, we thought we were Christians. We thought we knew the Lord, but we were stuck in going to the ritual of church. We were going through the motions and the doing of religion, the doing of church for many, many years. And that was my first memory of just kind of being there, knowing I'm supposed to be here, but it was more doing. And it wasn't until my mom and dad on the same night, I think I've shared this before with you, but they had some neighbors in a Bible study, and they invited them over, and they really pursued them and went after this question of, are you just going through the motions, or do you really know the Lord? Do you have a real experience with God inside your soul? Has the gospel, has the Spirit of God really changed you? And that went on for a while, but then one evening, both my mom and dad got on their knees. They realized that they'd been going through the motions, that they didn't really know God. They had never really experienced him. It was all doing. It was all ritual, and there was no real being. There was no real connection of their soul, who they are, with God. And boy, I mean, from that moment on, our house changed. And it was my mother who led me out of the doing of religion into the actual being of who Jesus is, and inviting him into my soul. But you know, as we go through life, we can all think back, can't we, about our journey And for most of us, myself included, later on, it's so easy, isn't it, we're just made to be doers, right? We're made to, it's what I do determines who I am, right? And the reality is most adults probably are still stuck in that endless loop. Let me just be real blunt, fruitless loop of who I, if I'm determining who I am by what I do, that's going to be a harsh reality at some point. And folks, a lot of us have been growing up. Maybe some of you had your parents put on you a high performance. It's what you do. It's your grades you make determines who you are. It is whether you're an athlete or whether you're an actress or whatever it is. That determines who you are. And it's even if as a parent we don't believe that, it's how we speak about that. It's what we talk about most in valuing our child that they pick up on, correct? And in our own lives, boy, I tell you what, that performance-based identity thing, it is a powerful, powerful thing if it is not broken. And folks, that's exactly what religion is. Religion is performance-based approval. If I do this, if I go to church, if I go to mass, if I do this, if I do this, if I do the sacraments, if I read my Bible, if I do this, then you know what? Then I'm going to be what? I'm going to be good. I'm going to be in. It's all fun, but it's on my shoulders. It's on my performance of what I do that determines who I am, right? Just on a little side note, while we're talking about parenting, I put out a blog last week, and I just encourage you as a parent to look at it. The title of it is, Should We Make Our Children Come to Church? And I just ask you to read it and to take some time to really think about that. And the illustration there, just for this morning, is the idea of, again, is church something I do or is who I am? This is one of the massive problems in the church in America today, is that church, for the most part, it's what I do. It's on my schedule. It's optional. It's something I attend and take in. It's not something that I am. Jesus made it very, very clear when he saves us, he doesn't just come in and do this renovation process, right? But he also baptizes us, in other words, he unites us with the family of God, his church, his family. And it is not just my immediate family, but actually throughout the scripture and the body, our primary identity, our blessing in life is to flow from the family of God, the local expression of the church. And if I talk to my child, if I present to them something, this is what you must do, what's going to happen? I've moved them into religion. I've moved them into performance-based spirituality, education, everything else. Versus if I communicate and model to them, this is something who we are. This is something at the core level of who we are and our identity, at the very base of our core. And so just something to think about there. And folks, this is such a massive, massive question, isn't it? How do you determine who you are? And who I am? And so this morning, I just want us to dive in on this issue of being before doing. Now, as I said before, all religion is based on doing leads me to being, leads me to my identity, right? The gospel comes in and it reverses that. Religion is based on outside-in living. In other words, we'll get to our diagram from last week. I've taken y'all's advice. I've fixed it up a little bit. Hopefully made it a little more understandable, right? But still needs a lot of help. But religion or performance-based living is outside in. From my physical senses, what happens to me in my life, that's how I'm living, and that's what's affecting my soul. My mind, my intellect, my emotions, and my feelings are all, I'm living by letting the world around me, my circumstances around me impact my soul and my identity, my who I am. And that goes down to even the core of our very, the spirit. It was at the deepest part of our being. That's religion. That's living, doing before being. Letting my outside life, my actions, the world around me, the influence, the things that have happened to me in life affect me and move in from the outside in type of living. Those are the things that have affected who I am. And folks, here's the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. There's no better news in all of the world, the universe, than this news, is that the Father sent the Son into this world to die for the sins of the world. And that and to offer a free gift, right, to us by the grace of God, that if we receive Jesus in our soul, is that he reverses this. Remember we talked about is that from the very beginning last week of, from Adam and Eve, our very core being of who we are, our spirit is dead. We come into this world with a dead spirit. And we live soulish lives. We're living from outside in. I'm living from my mind, emotion, and my intellect. My idea of how to run my life. And my spirit is dead, meaning it is cut off from relationship with God. And what controls my life is the flesh, right? My soul, what I desire, my selfishness. Derek talked, read that passage. What Jesus means is deny, pick up your cross. In other words, unite yourself with me and deny yourself daily. We're going to break that down, what that looks like this morning. Denying myself. In other words, my flesh, what I determine is best is to be laid at Christ's feet. As Jesus has come in, and the Spirit of God comes in and starts awakening my spirit again. It was dead to relationship with God. Now the Spirit comes in when we invite Jesus into our heart, and that fire, that inner being of my spirit starts awakening again. And I start this reversal process of living now from the inside out, letting the Spirit of God that is in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and our relationship with God speak into my identity, who I am as a child of God, how God sees me now. And those are the things now that permeate, and this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, of learning how to live from the Spirit versus living from the flesh. From my soulful being. And this is what the Bible talks about as sanctification. This is spiritual growth, is reversing this process, learning how to live inside out, led by the Spirit of God, versus learning how what we all know how to live, which is by our flesh, from the outside in, right? And we can't do that without leaning in to the Holy Spirit and learning how, right, to, by faith, lay hold of God's promises and let God and his work move and change me. Right, from the inside out. And what happens is that when we invite Jesus into our heart, God stamps us in that moment. In that moment is we, our entire identity, our entire being of who we are radically changes. We become a child or a daughter of God. Our spirit comes alive in relationship with God again where it was dead. And all these things we're going to be looking at Romans are that we're going to even look at this morning are positional things. These are things that God does. This is why it's called a free gift. But I think most of us, we've grown up in the church, we've heard the gospel. It's all about Jesus forgiving my sins, what I did. He forgave me. He took care of that guilt, shame, and sin. Hey, that's awesome. That's a huge part of it. But there's so much more of what happens to our very being. Who we are radically changes instantly. Now, here's the problem, is that way too many times, every one of us falls into this, is that especially when we first come to Jesus, is often what happens is we confuse identity with experience. We confuse identity with how I'm living. And the reality is once we come to faith, we don't immediately start living by the Spirit. We still have this thing called the flesh. We still have this soulful life, this flesh thing, this selfishness. It's called a lot of different things. And here's an important point. We're going to look at the scripture, but I need you to hold on to this, is that when Jesus comes, he does not kill, the gospel does not kill this power, my flesh, my tendency to sin. It doesn't get killed, and we all know that. Matter of fact, you know what happens? And I bet those of you who know Jesus know something of this, is when we come to know Jesus, oftentimes what happens, in even the beginning and throughout our life, is that we are now aware of an internal battle that rages. And we were never really aware of it before when we lived just a soulful, fleshly life. Oh, we might got guilty here or there, but we sinned and we disobeyed God. We didn't care about obeying His word, and we just didn't really, we weren't too concerned about those things. We weren't really guilty or anything else. Is we just went about our life. But as soon as Jesus comes in, immediately is that we enter into this. And this is the proof, folks. This is hopefully encouragement, because I think a lot of us have heard something different, is this battle of, I do the very thing I don't want to do. I'm feeling more guilty for this. And, oh, I'm coming to realize I have some really selfish thoughts in here and everything. And I'm battling, is that I just can't get over this hump or this burden or this bondage or this thought or this sinful habit or this addiction, or just go down the list of things, right? There's a new sense of battle and awareness of, that's not right. That's not who I am. I am not an alcoholic. But I'm struggling with that drink. I'm struggling with finding some peace in that thing, but I know that's not who I am. Anybody relate to that? You want to raise your hand? Right? Doing the things we don't want to do. Folks, that is the proof that the Spirit of God is at work in a young believer, in all believers, right? Of being there and bringing conviction, awakening our spirit, right, to start this inside out living, right, by the power of God, to start putting to death, changing these habits, these ways that we got locked into, right, our habits of doing these things. And those things, we'll talk more about this next week, but those things fall into these camps. Paul defines just unrighteousness, and just go down the list of sins, you know, right? Unrighteousness is all these blatant things that we would, you know, God says, these are not good for you, and these do not please me. And then there's this deeper one, because when we first come to faith, a lot of my journey was, since I came to faith at an early age, was, hey, I was able to knock off, you know, and not struggle with some of the unrighteous, the these big sins. And it was like, wow, okay, you know, and I got that, you know, the Spirit's come. I'm not wrestling with some of that stuff. But then what happens is the Spirit of God moves deeper into the core of the being, and the harder flesh is wrapped up in self-righteousness, not just unrighteousness. But see, he starts with the outside addictions and things that we can fall into, but all he wants, radical transformation, right? And then he just starts awakening in our soul, right? Those things that are ugly, wrong thoughts, fleshly thoughts, all wrapped around self still, right? And starts bringing conviction, like, man, there's self-righteousness there. There's deep-seated, right, ugly stuff that needs to be dug up and kicked out, right? And the opposite of self-righteousness is self-hatred, right? And that's often comes because of trauma or something, or just being pounded, right, with lie after lie of who we are when we're young. And self-hatred needs to be laid at the cross, right? There needs to be an awakening and a change taking place on the inside. And so, folks, when the gospel comes in, it's this radical change from being a doer first to being a being. And the beauty about this is, if you are a student of Scripture, you know that this is exactly what almost every one of Paul's epistles is laid out. From a simple outline, the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, the first part of it, Paul, all he talks about is who you are in Jesus. When you came to know Him, this is how God sees you. We've got to start there. We have to build this foundation of your being, how God sees you, who you are. And then the second part, then he starts moving into the more practical doing. Now because you are in Him, now because of this is how Jesus sees you, now that because your heart is awakened, now by the Spirit of God who is in you, you're a new being, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now let's start to walk in it. Let's start to learn to relationally walk in trusting by faith in God and His promises to see my very being change, and for this whole orientation to shift from outside in to inside out as the Spirit of God, right, starts coming and changing me. And folks, I would just say proof that the Spirit of God is alive in you is this tension of this shifting from being to doing, right? From this idea of just being a doer, performance-based, right? Religious-based, bondage, right? To one of a grace-based, which is being first standing on the foundation of this is how God sees me. It's a free gift. I've invited him in to renovate my heart and change me. And that's the core of my spirit alive, living from my spirit that now is alive. It was dead from the inside out. Okay? Make sense? All right, let's dive into Romans here. Father, we just give you praise this morning, Lord, for your glorious gospel. I pray, Lord, that this wouldn't just be, Lord, truth that goes out and just makes it as far as our intellect, just makes it as far as our soul, Lord, and changes maybe even our emotions a little bit, Lord, this morning. But Lord, we ask for a move, a demonstration of your Spirit's power, Lord. We ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, and move at the very depth of our being, Lord, and you would awaken our spirit, Lord, this morning. Father, just like the early believers, they felt a fire in their soul, Lord, their hearts burning for your word, Lord, the reality that you are with us, that you are present here, God. Come now, Lord. Bring your word, Lord, alive, Lord, to us. And Father, I pray for anyone in here that doesn't know you, Jesus. Maybe they've been caught in religion, spirituality, but Lord, at the core of their being, they are not sure their spirit is alive by your power and that they're in fellowship with you, Father, through Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Jesus, to reveal yourself in a very personal way, Lord, that this morning, Lord, we can lay our lives down, ourself down, and believe in you and receive you. Yes, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 6. 5 through 11. Three handles this morning to take. Just give them to you here. First one is the truth of the gospel when we receive Jesus inside our soul. Three big things change. We have a new being. It's called a new birth. But we get a whole new being. We are a new you. We talked about that last week. There's a whole new way that happens. Things radically change when we see truly how God sees us, how he loves us, how he cares for us, how he's died for us, how he takes our sin, shame, and guilt. He's there ready to step into our mess and to radically turn us around. We have a new being. The second thing is we have a new battle. There's a whole new awakening to, wow, there's this internal battle going on inside my very soul now of this change, this transformation, folks, is always painful. Real change is always painful, especially when it reaches down to the core of our being. We have a new battle, right? There's this big question we have to ask of what, because of what Jesus has done for us, now by the Spirit of God, he calls us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. There are certain flesh patterns that we have in our lives that we all develop, that we tend towards, and those are the things that bind up our flesh, that keep us bound, and those are the things that that the Spirit of God wants to break for us. They're not things that can be transformed, that can be kind of nurtured, right? The flesh always, in the scripture, it has to be put to death. It has to be killed. And only the power of God can kill those things in our lives. So there's a new being. There's a new battle. Finally, there's a new boast. There's a new boast at the end of this we'll see. Paul commands us now as we live, and even in the midst of our screw-up and our sin, all three of these we have to stand upon as a firm foundation, right, before we start doing and fighting the sin or the struggle or the addiction or whatever it is. And the boast is, as the scripture will see, is we are to consider, we stand on the foundation of how God sees us, that we are a new creation in Christ. We are dead to sin. We are alive to God now. My spirit is alive. And folks, well, as we read these things, there's two verses verse 6 and 11 that I want to pound home that should be on memory. These should be verses in the heat of the flesh temptation battle in our lives, this is the truth of God that we should be calling upon and we stand upon, because you know what? Our enemy wants to accuse us. He wants to beat us up. He wants to keep us in that place of addiction, keep us in that place of bondage, right? He doesn't want to see this transformation take place. He wants to make you and make me a carnal Christian, one who just says they believe in Jesus but is not really able to testify the reality of the experience of God is radically changing our lives, right, for his good. And we stand on the truth that we'll see because of the gospel. We're a new creation. We're dead to sin. In other words, we now have the power of the Spirit of God, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit inside our soul, helping us transform from the inside out. And we are alive to God again. My spirit is alive. And my sin, listen very carefully to me, my disobedience does not chop off. Nothing can separate me now because of what Jesus did for me when I invited him from my Father. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And when I start standing on those truths, folks, let me tell you, we might stumble and fail. We might just wrestle with addiction. We might wrestle with self-righteousness, you know, whatever it is we're wrestling with. But if we, in our battle plan, we start with being, reestablishing at the very beginning, this is who I am because this is who God says I am. And folks, here is the absolute power as a parent with a child to hammer home more and more about who you are, how God sees you, how we see you, rather than this is what you must do. I'm telling you, if those are out of weight, if it's all about this is what you got to do, get the good grades, get the good performance and everything, and very little about who you are, what's going to happen? They're going to be performance driven. And there's going to be a weakness when it comes to the very being of who they are, how they see themselves. And even more profound is that truth when it comes to spirituality and religion. If it's all about this is what you got, just don't. And how do most of us grow up? Don't do this, don't do that, right? Don't. And what does that? That just lends us into performance driven acceptance before God. It should be grace. The absolute majority of what we should be camping on is the grace of God. This is how God sees you. And until you get that inside the core of your being and stand on that, that battle with temptation and sin, that bondage, those addictions, they're going to stay there and they're going to be strong and they're going to hold you captive until we learn to stand on the truth of God. Does that make sense, gang? It's a radical reorientation. We have to fight a new battle. There's a new battle we fight, and that battle is not out here with my hands. It's not with my intellect. It's not with I just got to get my emotion right. It's from the very core of my being, harnessing God, Holy Spirit, you come in. And we enter the battle first and foremost by saying, God, this is how you see me. This is how you love me. This is what you've done for me. This is who I am in you, Jesus. This is how you see me. I am free from the power of sin. You've set me free. You hold me in your eternal hands. I'm yours forever. Now I'm ready to step into the battle of temptation. God, now come. Help me break this flesh. Help me break this depression. Help me break this, you know, go down the list. Whatever the flesh pattern is, we all have them, and they're all different for all of us, right? Word of God. For if we've been united with him, with Jesus, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self, the old person, who we were when our flesh ruled before we entered into relationship with Jesus, we know that old person, that old self, was crucified with him, with Jesus. In other words, it was put to death. It is no longer who you were. Who you are. It's no longer who I am. In order that the body of sin, this soul, my mind, motion, my will, my flesh, in order that this body of sin might be brought to nothing. Folks, this is foundational biblical truth, the power of the gospel right here. And the sad thing is, you know, a lot of us came to Jesus and we're never taught these dynamics. We're never taught these identities, gospel dynamics, to know how to wage war. And this is why we just keep trying to follow Jesus, go to church and try to do good, and we just keep getting the crap beat out of us. We keep stuck. We don't get any move. We don't see freedom in our lives from just emotional trauma or addictions or go down the list, right? When the gospel comes in, folks, Verse 6 is key. I just encourage you to put it on your heart. So we invite Jesus in immediately, the promise is the old self, who Steve was when Steve did not know Jesus, with my spirit dead to God, my life is ruled by my mind, emotion, my soul, my flesh ruled my life. That is no longer in existence. My spirit has come alive now because God has sent his Holy Spirit into have fellowship with my spirit, has made me alive again. He's like a spark has come alive again the depth of my spirit. I'm alive to God again. The old Steve, that old way of life, that old way of living from the outside in, is gone. It's a whole radical new way of living by the Spirit of God on the inside. And that is, in the process here, it says, so that the body of sin, this body of flesh that's still here with me, the power of the flesh is not crucified, it's not dead, it's still here, and it's raging even more so now. The flesh and the enemy comes and wants to shut down this progress, and it just heaps on the battle. Folks, you know what it's like? I mean, try to just say, you know what? Let's talk to the guys first. Man, you know, I'm just not going to lust anymore. I'm just not going to do it. How's that going to work? I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to stop right now. Right? You can't do that. Often what happens when you start the battle with the flesh, it gets harder. It gets harder. And the battle is on. And if I continue to battle from the outside in, game over. I'm going to move into addiction. I'm going to move into oppression. I'm going to move into bondage in that area. It's going to kick me all over the place, right? And so this is this radical reshifting of who we are. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we, this is all talking about what happens in, with our identity. When we believe Jesus, we become a new person. We're united with Jesus. And when he says we're united with his death and his resurrection, that means that what he experienced, we can experience. And we will. Okay? Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all of us. But the life he lives to God. So, verse 11, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's how God sees you now. And this is, Paul's just building steam here as we move into 7 and 8 to really get into the dynamic of, okay, now let's go kick this flesh's butt. Let's just get some transformation. Let's get set free. You try to go out there on your own the old way, you're going to get your butt kicked. And we all know what that's like. This is first establishing who we are in him, what he's done for us. This is first one of saying, God, I need you. I'm completely dependent on your spirit to come in and do this. Reorient my living from the spirit, a regenerated heart out, right? So three handles. First one, it says it's a new being. And folks, I just give you these three things. They're simple, right? New being, new battle, new boast. Just to think on those. And when you enter into a battle, step back. And because, see, what does the enemy do? This is the power of temptation and guilt in our own flesh, is that, man, when we screw up, what do most of us do? When we know we've screwed up again, here I am, again, doing the same old thing that I promised I wouldn't do again, that I, you know, what do? We just beat the crap out of ourselves. We eagerly can get into a spiral, can't we? And what are we preaching to ourselves? Is that gospel? No, what do? When we sin, what happens is that is something that God doesn't want for us. That's of the old me. And so what happens is we go back and we start living in the old me, right? And we just let that grip us. And folks, this is Paul is saying that the battle begins when the temptation comes, when even in the midst of my failure, is I first have to sit back and I have to build up my being. I have to build up. And folks, this is most powerful in the midst of my failure. You mean even in the midst of doing that again, Jesus still sees me, loves me, forgives me, cares for me, sees me as dead to sin, alive to him? Wow. It is just reestablishing this who we are in him. Okay. And the question to go with that is just to add, when you think about new being, folks, just apply this to your life. When you're feeling down, you get up, it's just a blue day. Just feeling bad about life, feeling bad about where your life is going, feeling bad about your day, just feeling bad, just, you know, it's just a sucky day. Man, you go after it. The first thing you need to do, you don't need to get up and go for a bike ride. You don't need to go up and go for a hike. You don't need to. The first thing we all need to do is we need to establish our being. Who am I? Why am I thinking like that? And we need to just, whatever it takes, go into the Word of God and ask this question. How does Jesus see me? And you build up your faith. Jesus, you love me. You died for me. How can I feel sucky when that's a reality? And we just keep at it. We keep building. God, come build up my being. Build up my soul. I am dead to sin. I'm dead to that, those evil thoughts. Right? I'm dead to that. I'm alive to you, God. This is how you see me. Come and strengthen me. This is how Jesus sees me. Okay. Next one is just a new battle. And folks, I think this is where we have to, the next part of this process here is just saying, hey, well, okay, addressing my flesh patterns. Lord, show me my areas of weakness. Show me those areas of unrighteousness that have me in bondage, right? When the flesh comes alive, where does it lead me? Because it always will lead me away from God. It will always lead me to a place of bondage, whether that's what I think or whether that's what I do. And every one of us just called flesh patterns my pattern of escape. Right? When you're down, when you're just feeling bad, and when you just need to, you know, want to rebel or whatever it is, what do you do? What is your area of weakness? We all have them. Thinking and also just addictions. Is it too much wine? Is it too much beer? Is it alcohol? Is that the place you go? Right? Is it to the screen? Is it pornography? Is it, right, let's just, I mean, you know, our world is full of outlets, right, to let people hide out, right? Full of outlets. And so what are those areas? What are those patterns? Because they need to be put to death. And you know what? They're a pattern because we had no power over them. But now we have new life. And when you say, God, you need to come in now and let's get rid of this. Let's just knock this thing out. Right? The final thing, that's the new battle. The final thing is just our new boast. And this is what I'm saying, is this is, we just boast. If over and over, Paul says, we don't boast. And this is, you know, the especially coming out of self-righteousness, is not boasting, hey, look how good I am. Man, look, I didn't do any of this or that. All right? Is boasting in the Lord. Lord, thank you. This is what you've done for me. Right? Am I engaging my flesh by the Spirit's power and seeing new life? That's some deep questions. Lord, I want to see new life. I want to see the experience. Because of this new identity, I want to see the experience, the truth of what you promise, which is a transformed life. I want to see the fruit of the Spirit come over my emotions. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I want to see my appetite for sin cut off. I just don't have an appetite to watch that stuff anymore. God, I'm filled up with more of you. I just don't have an appetite to just be critical about people any longer. You know, I got an appetite. I just get so excited about building people up. Lord, just thank you for criticizing me when I just start gossiping or criticizing somebody else. I just see that. I want to kill that right there by your power. And Lord, now I want to be a vessel of, I want to bless. I want to speak in uplift, even if it's somebody I can't stand. Lord, I just want to bless them. You see, because you know what's happening? I'm getting a new life. I'm getting a new sense of affections in my heart. Jesus is right, is coming alive, right? And boy, I know no longer when somebody, you know, has something good happen to them or they're, you know, life looks so great to them, I'm not sitting there going, man, my life sucks. Look at how great their life is. No. Because now I'm saying, no, Lord, man, look what you've done for me, Jesus. I'm going to boast in that. I know you've got great things for me. And you know what? I'm going to rejoice, because when I start rejoicing in people's successes and everything, you know what that does? That elevates me into the favor of God. If I complain, if I whine about what others are doing, if a whininess takes me, you know what? I chop myself off from the favor of God blessing me. I want your favor, God. And I want to be a vessel of favor, right, to other people. New being, a new battle, a new boast. That's where we start, right here on the foundation of our position, what Jesus has done by his gospel. Before we start doing, before we go out there and start attacking these things, right? Is, man, I got to first stand on the firm foundation of, man, God, you've reoriented. You've made it clear who I am, right? And folks, just a final encouragement is, what are we feeding ourselves? Am I feeding my flesh or am I feeding my spirit? Just a simple thing, right? And to realize as we look at our lives is, man, I just am constantly amazed just how much I, even sometimes not aware of it, how I'm feeding my flesh. In other words, the thing that I feed is the thing that's going to control my life. What I feed is going to control my life. And so this is back to the second one, the battle of, what are my patterns? What am I feeding? Let me change, right, what I feed. And by that, the Spirit of God will use that, right, to start this glorious transformation. Okay? All right. You got the graphic up there? Yeah, thank you. So, gang, just to root all this, just graphically for some who like that, and again, forgive me. It's the best I could do. So, at the core is the S is my spirit, plus the Holy Spirit. When I invite Jesus in, the Holy Spirit comes in, it awakens my spirit again. It was dead. Before that was alive, the thing that ruled me was just the outer ring. The inner core was dead in my life. You hear in the scripture it says that we have this void in our heart that is empty until God fills it. That's what that is. It's the core of my being is empty until the Spirit of God comes in. I'm living a soulish life that is by my body senses and my soul, mind, emotion, and will until my spirit comes alive with Jesus. And when that starts happening inside me is that I in this reversal, right? The red is the attack, the outside in, my senses, the old flesh patterns. They're constantly at me, right? And I live in my fellowship with the Spirit. And I start building my body on my identity, on the will, on the truth of God, is that I start able to live from the inside out. And there is a battle, that blue and red line. This is the inner core battle of our soul, right? That takes, go back to one with the red. We'll just camp on that one. Is that that's the reality of the battle that will always be there. Do you know that? Always be. The flesh will never completely go away in this life. We will always need to be sensitive to it. And what I know is as soon as I think, man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling pretty free. I have knocked that sin out. That's out. I'm feeling pretty darn good. And just that thinking alone, right, is like, oh, you know, here comes the flesh. There's self-righteous. There's overconfidence. And the boom, what happens? Right? Something comes along and just wipes you out, right? Is no, there's always more. It's like that onion, right, peeling. The Spirit of God is always going deeper and deeper into, right, laying down self, picking up my cross. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm identified with you, your cross, your resurrection, your entire thing. And man, because of that, I'm going to experience everything you have for me, Jesus. And I need to just get rid of this self, the old stuff, the old patterns, and bring alive this new life, right? So does that make sense? Just a couple, Derek's not here, so we're going to just take advantage. We've got a couple questions. Any thoughts, comments, encouraging words, anything here? Oh, where's the, there it is right over there. Anybody have something? If not, we'll come to the table. So, yeah, oh, Carter, sorry, you're going to have to, it's all right, you get a little workout this morning.
Teaching that you're giving us kind of led me to 1 Samuel 16, where the Lord said, how long will you mourn Saul? Mm-hmm. Arise and fill up your horn with oil and go and anoint David.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Leave that old stuff.
Yeah.
And move forward.
That's beautiful. You see it. You see the pattern all through the scripture. The Old Testament, New Testament, you see the pattern of God is in the business of restoring, renewing, regenerating, all the rewords, refreshing, right? He's in this, and it just, that it requires us to be humble. Lord, come. And the problem with Saul, which we know is powerful, right, is Saul hardened his heart. He hardened. He said, no, I'm going to hold on to my flesh. I'm not going to, allow with humility, God, I need you, right? Absolutely. Anything else? Just before, anybody else? Question or comment? Back here. Shall I go down by Maiden there? So you weren't around, so I took advantage. Just took some questions.
Well, I just want to add, because this scripture you opened today, it's a very great one. However, when you try to, tell us more about how to get away from old self, I was thinking maybe we can, most time open the scripture so that all of us, we understand that, there are some certain things that are not to be done. Because this, in Colossians chapter 3, it's about living the old self. And he said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above,
yes,
where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Yeah. For you died, which is what the point you gave.
Absolutely.
And your life has been hidden with Christ in God. So what he said, therefore, put to death your members, which is the flesh, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. Then he later moved to put away anger, wrath, and so on. So I want it to be maybe it should be explained, because some people might feel my old self, but they might not know what that old self is. Yeah. So
thank you, brother. It's good. Be here next week, because that's what we're talking about next week. The next part of Romans gets into that. It talks about putting to death the members of our flesh. And we'll get that you. Yeah, that's great. Great lead into next week. Thank you, brother. It's a good word. Anything else? Any other encouraging? Anybody got a word for us or final question? We'll come to the table. All right. Awesome. Thanks for being here, gang. Thanks for engaging the word of God. Being here. Right? Not just doing, not just going through the church, routine. But come with your entire being. Engage, right? Engage relationally with God and engage with each other, right? And just as we prepare our hearts to come to the table and do that, make sure we prepare our hearts before we come to that table. This isn't just a doing. I got to do some being work with God before I come to this table, right? But, encourage each other. Invite each other out to lunch. Step into each other's lives. Pray for each other. Right? This is what God's called us to as a family, right? And again, if you're here, we'd love to pray with you. Anything, we'd love to come around you and support you if you have something we can encourage you with this morning. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, the gospel. Lord, I pray you'll sink it in. Jesus, come alive. Be our Lord. Be our Savior. Awaken the affections of our heart, God. Towards you, Father, away from those flesh patterns, towards you, Father. And we trust you, Lord. We love you, God. And we stand here this morning realizing the overwhelming reality of your immense and massive love for us, Jesus. Pour that out, Lord, over our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.